Psalm chapter 4, verse 1, the Word of God says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing? Selah. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. And together I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." Good. Let's pray. Lord, we're grateful for this verse, so many good things, or this chapter, so many good things we could learn from it. And yet we're kicking off a series this morning that we're going to talk about for some weeks, and I think that it will be a blessing to those that are here. And Lord, I just pray that you would fill us with gladness. I pray that we would know the joy of the Lord. And that today we could kick off a sermon series that will truly be life-changing for individuals, for myself, and for our church. We believe in the power of the Word of God. It's your book. We believe in the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's here with us and in us. And I pray that you would do your work in us. Change us. Make us more like thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to kick off a series this morning, and sometimes we'll do this, but not often. Some churches you go to, they'll have a series every week, and they're always doing some series and set of messages, and we'll do that here sometimes, and I'm not opposed to it when the Lord offers us to. I love doing it, but I also like being flexible to whatever the Lord might have that week or that service, and so I just usually try to see what the Lord wants, and usually it's the right thing. And I've often had people say, did my husband talk to you this week? Or did my wife talk to you? Or did so-and-so talk to you? Because that was exactly what we needed. And I was like, no, I haven't done that. And that's always just the Holy Spirit doing that. And so we appreciate the Holy Spirit. But I do feel led of the Spirit that we're going to take from today until the end of August, the remaining weeks of summer, and every Sunday morning we're going to talk about one of my favorite words in the Bible and one of the most misunderstood words in the Bible, and that's the word joy. Joy. It's just a good word, isn't it? Joy. Just a good word. And when I was studying for this message, this was actually just going to be one message, and I kept coming across more information and more. And the Lord, the Bible is so full of information about joy. This is something that God wants us to have in our lives. And it is one of the hallmarks of Christianity that we have joy, that Christians go through life differently than non-Christians. Christians experience the world differently. Now, wisdom is seeing the world differently. Joy is experiencing the world differently. And I know a lot of Christians that have wisdom that don't have joy. And I'll be honest, in my life, you know, it's always a battle saying, I want joy in my life. You know, and at times I've got great joy. At times it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, where you just feel like life can't get any better. And then at other times it's like, I need some joy because it's difficult. And so joy is a vital, vital part of the Christian life. And I really believe, and I'd like to challenge each one of you, unless you're already scheduled to be out of town or something comes up or you're sick, don't miss a Sunday morning for the rest of the summer, because this I think, is going to help us in amazing ways, and me personally as well. So this is a wonderful psalm here, and it kind of talks about the differences between the righteous and the ungodly. And we could take time to look at that. That's not the purpose of this message. But there is a different way of living. There's a different way of living for those that are following God. There's a different way of living for those that are following or not following God. There's a different way of experiencing life for those that are following God and for those that aren't. There's a different way of looking at life. So really, when God moves into your life, when something as big as God moves in, it has to make changes. He makes changes in our lives, how we see the world, and then how we choose to live, how we choose to act. That informs our feelings, and it's this beautiful, full life if we allow it to. Now, the amazing thing about joy is you find people in the Bible who were going through terrible circumstances, but they still had joy. It's amazing. Getting burned at the stake while they're singing hymns of praise. How's that possible? It's not. Singing in prison after being beaten. How's that possible? Joy. See, joy changes how you experience life, how you experience the world. And a simple definition for joy is gladness from God. Joy is gladness from God. So let's say it together. What is joy? Gladness from God. There's other longer things we could give. We give theological definitions. We give practical definitions. But ultimately, when you boil it all down, joy is gladness from God. And joy differs from happiness because happiness is gladness from what's happening. So the limitation of happiness is, I'm not against happiness, but it has an extreme limitation, is that you can only be happy when good things are happening. Good things happening, I'm happy. Bad things happening, I'm miserable. Joy is totally different. Good things happening, I'm glad. Bad things happening, I'm glad. Because the gladness of joy does not come, its source is not the things going on around me, its source is from God above. And so whether you're in prison or whether you're in Cancun, Mexico, you can have joy. And whether it's wintertime in New England with 2 feet of snow on the ground, or it's summertime, a beautiful 80-degree day, light breeze blowing off the ocean, you got the day off, beautiful day, you can have joy. You're healthy, you can have joy. You're dying, you can have joy. Because joy is gladness from God. Let's say it together, gladness from God. Think about this, $100. You think, happy, happy thoughts. I give you $100, happy. I take $100, whoa, sad. That's happiness. I thought this week, I was running to the bank, I took some money. I never do this. I'm very careful with money. I usually take it and I put it in a certain place in my wallet. And my wallet goes in a certain pocket. You know, I don't like losing things, which I do if I'm not careful because my mind's so busy. So I've got a certain pocket for my keys, certain pocket for my wallet. My money goes in a certain place. But this week I was running out of the house and I needed to stop by the bank. And I took a couple $100 I had to deposit in the bank to pay some bills. And I put it right here. Bad idea. Because all day long, this is what I do. So you want a track? Here's $100. You know, I just gave somebody a track with $100 in it. They're like, "Wow, I like that, church." And you know, thankfully, I didn't do that. But I thought I lost that hundreds of dollars. And I'll tell you what, I was not happy. I'm like, "Lord," you know, you're just like, "What?" But you know, the Lord, and I'm walking. And what's funny is, I was going to Stop and Shop before I went to the bank. And I'm walking out of Stop and Shop, and I'm thinking, "Lord, I can't find that money. What are we going to do? I got bills to pay." And the Lord said, whether you have the, in my heart, you know, not audibly, in my heart, the money's not the issue. Well, it is to me. You ever talk back to God a little bit? The money's not the issue. Well, yeah, kind of is. The money's not the issue. And I thought, Lord, it's your money. And we'll be okay. And you ever notice that sometimes after you surrender, it's like there? I don't know if it like rematerializes. I don't know if what happened, but there's that money right in my pocket. And I was like, wow, thank you, Lord. But you know, I thought about the fickleness of how we go through life. Good things happening, awesome day. Bad things happening, I want to jump off a bridge. That's not how Christians should live. Christians have access to something called joy. And that joy, that gladness from God, is vital. And this gladness from God is better than material blessings. This is what we find here in, look at verse 6. There be many that say, who will show us any good? So many say, well, what's the big deal about serving God? What's it not doing you any good to serve God? Hey, you serve God, Pastor. Yeah, you're God. Your wife's sick. Hey, yeah, you, Christian, you work harder than I do, and you go to church every Sunday, and you're struggling financially, and I'm not. Hey, Christian, you're going through this. I mean, there are people in your life that it's like they'll just chip away at you because life's not going this certain way that they think it ought to go. But we understand we don't serve God for those reasons. We don't preach a health and wealth gospel here. You don't come to Jesus hoping to have all your problems taken away. When you come to Jesus, you get your biggest problem taken away, and that is that you're a sinner, and you don't have access to heaven, and you're an enemy of God, but through Jesus Christ, God takes away your biggest problem. He takes away the penalty of your sin, and He offers you eternal life, and you can go to heaven someday. Praise God. When you get saved, that doesn't mean you're not going to have trouble. Right? How many of you had some stuff this week? It's like, hello. And if you're not careful, we have to remember that God never promised in this life to take away all our problems, but He did promise in the next life to take away all our problems. But what God did leave us in this life, among so many other things, we talked about the comfort of God a few weeks ago, and the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. But one of the best things God gave us to get through this life is joy. And I really wonder, and you don't have to say anything, don't answer audibly, but in your own heart, how many times this week did you consider the word joy? How many times this week did you say, God, I need joy in my life? Or God, I need the power to rise above my circumstances through joy. And what I'm hoping to do over the next several weeks is I want to give us the tools and the biblical truths to show us how to get joy. Look here. It says, verse 6, there be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. See, what we really need is not material things. We need the Lord in our life. We need the Lord's presence, the Lord's countenance, the Lord's face. Do you ever picture God turning His face toward you? Because in the Bible, this is something that's mentioned. I believe when I pray, whether it's theologically correct or not, I don't think it's incorrect. I picture when I pray, God turning His face toward me. He's paying attention to me. I realize in some theological aspects, He never looks away from me. And don't get into the weeds here. We're talking practically for me. It helps me that when I pray, when I say Heavenly Father, when I say Lord, I picture God stopping what He's doing and turning towards me and saying, yes. God's countenance towards you. God smiling at you. Think about that. Do you think God's happy with you? You know how much of a smile can brighten your day? Someone that you love, someone that you trust, they look at you and they just smile at you. That's therapeutic. That's almost medicinal. That's why husbands and wives have to be so careful how they look at each other. Parents and children have to be so careful how they look at each other. I was talking to my wife one time. We were talking about something heavy, not, this is years ago, something heavy, not angry. We weren't fighting, you know, nothing like that, but just something heavy. And she was talking about it. We were talking back and forth, and she stopped talking, and she said, are you angry at me? I said, no, I'm thinking. And she said, your face looks angry. I said, well, I'm not. You know, in my mind, in a man's mind, I'm not. Deal with it. You know, just know that I'm not angry. Don't expect me to change. Just know that I'm not. And she said, you know, it really helps me if when we're talking, if I feel like, because she wants to please me. It really helps me if I feel like you're happy with me when we're talking. And I've tried over the years, and I'm not very good at it, but I've tried over the years when I'm talking to people to kind of put a little bit of a, to pay attention to my face. You know, even just a, it's hard for guys like me. You know, you want to forget it. But to kind of just wear a smile. Just try to wear a smile. I was a telemarketer for about 3 weeks when I was in college. Because I didn't, it was awful. It was, and you all hated me. I probably called you. And I remember one time I almost got fired because I was talking about someone. And if the Lord came up while we were talking, I'd start witnessing on the phone, and which they weren't paying me for, which, pray for me. And, but one time, and they'd already told me, you can't do that while we're talking. I said, okay, that's fine. But this woman, I'm talking to this lady, and she begins to, she said, what do you do for work other than this? And I said, well, I'm in Bible college. And she said, oh, she started talking. And she said, do you know the story about the red heifer? And I said, yeah, I know the red heifer. And we were talking about the red heifer in the Bible, the Old Testament. How many of you know about the red heifer? If you don't, you're not missing much. But, I mean, it's the red heifer in the Old Testament, a certain sacrifice. Well, I had just gotten in trouble, like, earlier that week for talking about the Lord on the phone. And by trouble, I mean just don't do that. And anyway, as soon as I get off the phone, someone comes to me and says, Miss So-and-so wants to see you. And she was the leader, the boss. Well, she thought I was telling the person on the phone that I was calling my boss a red heifer. Because she didn't come into the Bible part. She came in hearing, I know the red heifer. You know about the red heifer? I know the red heifer. I mean, it's like this conversation about the red heifer. And I walk in the room, and there's her, and there's her boss there, and it's like, did you call her a red heifer? I'm like, what? You know, why would, if I called her anything, it wouldn't be a red heifer. You know, that's not normally something you say to somebody. And anyway, that's neither here nor there. I forgot why I told it. Oh, miracle. That's where I was working. And you got to be careful. It's so funny. But they taught us there in training, when you're talking on the phone, smile. Because when you're smiling, it comes through your voice, even if people can't see you. And try it. I tend to, if you call me on the phone and I'm busy, especially if my mind's engrossed in something, I sound like I'm suicidal, I guess. You know, it's like, hello, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. You know, I do. I know it's terrible. And it's like sometimes they're like, hey, Pastor, are you okay? It's like, yeah, why you ask? You know, it's like, well, you sound like you're going to die, you know. And so I have to try to remember that. It's like, hey, how you doing? You know, and put a smile on your face and it comes through. Why is that important? Because imagine if you went through this week and you felt like you had the smile of God on your life. It's life-changing. Where God giving you joy, a never-ending fount of joy coming your way, open and available anytime you need it, through good time or bad, just like you can go over to a water spout and you turn the knob and you expect water to come out. You can go to God and turn the spout and expect joy to come out. I'm saying it is that available. It's that available. But can I be honest with you? That's normally not how I live my life. We live through life almost like we're prisoners to circumstance. And while there are so many things out of our control, there are also so many things inside of our control that we can use to make a difference. What a blessing to know that. Look at Psalm chapter 42. And before we get into the very details of joy, I'm going to tell you specifically next week, I'm going to tell you specifically what to do to get joy. You want joy? You can have it. How do I get it? I'm going to tell you exactly where to find it. Exactly where to find it. Anytime you want it, you can have it. Next week. What do I do this week? You know, this week I want you to realize, rather than trying to get one thing from God, because joy comes from God, don't just pursue joy. Pursue God. Because in the pursuit of God, you find joy. And there are specific ways you pursue Him, specific things you can do. But sometimes it's like your kid, if you have a child and they talk back to you all week and they don't listen to anything you say and they don't want to wash the dishes, they don't want to clean the room, that they're mad you don't take them to Great America, but now they want $20. So all of a sudden they come to you and they're nice to you. And you're like, okay, what do you want? You may not even know what they want, but it's like, what do you want? I don't want to have that type of relationship with God. I don't want to have the type of relationship with God that I'm constantly rebellious, or I'm stiff and I'm stubborn until I need something. And this is the way a lot of Christians live. We're okay, now cancer comes, so now we're yielded. Or okay, now this comes, okay, so now. No, let's pursue God with our lives. Realize that God's just not where we go and we need $20 of joy, but God is the one who, if we have a good relationship with Him, we have everything we need to get through life. And the girls sang about it this morning, and I love that song. Look at Psalm 42, verse 1. As the hart, now the hart is a biblical word for like a deer. It's an animal like a deer. So as the hart or the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Think about that. Think about that. What is it in your life today that you feel like you can't live without? What is it in your life right now that you're like, if I just had this, everything would be okay? I mean, if this would just change, everything would be okay. And usually the things that we get focused on are so menial. You know, if I just had money, everything would be okay. Money's not your greatest need. You know, if I just had health, everything would be okay. Health is not our greatest need. If I just had joy, if I just had peace. And sometimes it's not bad things, sometimes it's good things. But we get tunnel vision looking at the things God gives us. And today I'm just trying to put my hand under your chin and lift your eyes up and say, stop looking at the thing you need from God. And this morning, lift up your eyes and look at Him. Pursue Him. Because in that pursuit, you find everything you need. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Think about that, the living God. God's not just an idea. He's not just a concept. He is a living being. And I don't just want to talk about God as I talk about some statue. I want to talk about God as if he's there. I want to experience God. I want to interact with God. I want to feel something. And I'm not talking about some weirdo feeling this or that. You can certainly obey God without feeling, but why would I want to if there's an opportunity to experience him? Just like I'm talking about, sometimes I'll be talking, and I said earlier, I'm walking through Stop and Shop parking lot, and God's talking to me, and sometimes people will stop me, and they'll be like, no, stop. God talks to you. And I'm like, it's not like what you think, and I'm not saying that a cloud opened up in heaven, and God in Stop and Shop parking lot, Paul, you know, and everybody in the parking lot, looked around. If you're looking for that, you're going to be disappointed. But I am telling you, there's a way for you to interact with God where in your heart, you know it's him. And learning to tune your ears to that is so vital, because Samuel didn't understand the voice of God. And God came to Samuel and said, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli, because he didn't understand the voice of God. And I realize that it takes some tuning to hear. And sometimes it's hard to hear what you're telling yourself and what God's telling you, and maybe what some weird idea Satan's putting in your head and what's telling you. But if you tune your ears, you can learn to hear that voice. And boy, it's so precious and it's so wonderful. But I thirst for that. I thirst for it. And I thirst for joy. And there are times when my heart's breaking and I go to God and say, God, I need joy. And there's times when my heart is so rumbling and so my head's in such turmoil. You know, you try to read the Bible and you can't get much out of it because your head won't stop. And you try to pray because there's so many things going on in your heart. It's hard for you to pray and all of these things. And sometimes I'll go to God and say, God, I need peace. And all those things are true. But more than all of that, I don't just want what God gives me, I want him. I want him. Whatever it costs, I want him. And Christians who say, I will give God the least amount possible, they don't have that type of relationship with God. I was meditating last week on the pearl of great price. Think about it, a story. Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a man who found a pearl of great price. And he went and sold everything he had. And he bought that one pearl. And to me, I just feel like that's who Jesus is to me. I just feel like yes, I want a place to live. And yes, I'd like a nice car to drive. And yes, I want nice things. But listen to me, if it's all that or Jesus, I feel like just taking it all. I feel like just walking out and saying, God, you can have it all. I'd throw it all away because I want you. And when you have that heart, you know, people are talking about, well, how much do you have to repent how to get saved? How much do you have to do this? How much do you have to surrender to follow? Should I have to wear this? Should I have to wear that? Why can't I listen to that? Why can't I watch that? Why can't I go there? You're missing the whole point. Jesus is such a pearl of great price. You can have it all. Just want him. Jesus said the kingdom of God's like a man who went into a field and he found a treasure, but the field wasn't his, so the treasure didn't belong to him. And he went and sold all he had and he bought the field so he could have the treasure. It's a beautiful story, kind of like the pearl of great price, but what the Bible says is, the man couldn't have the treasure alone. He had to buy the field. That field may have been unusable. We don't know. There were probably some bad parts in that field. There was probably some areas in that field he had to clean up. And the Christian life doesn't come without its challenges. But the man said, I want the treasure so much, I'll take the field too. Whatever it takes, whatever it costs me, I want him. I want that. You compare that to the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and said all the right things, but he couldn't see his own need for the Savior. And so Jesus said, one more thing. Go sell everything you have and come and follow me. Now, do you have to sell everything you have to follow Jesus? No. The reason why Jesus asked that specific young man to do it is because it was his things that was keeping him from faith in the Savior. And Jesus asked the one question that revealed the young man's heart behind the platitudes, behind the scriptures, behind the eloquence. Jesus asked the one question that revealed the inner heart of that young man, that I'd rather have my stuff than God. And the young man walked away sorrowful. Why? For he was very rich. And each one of us in this room today, we are either one that says, we talk about wanting God. We know the scriptures why we should want God. But when it comes right down to it, we walk away. Maybe we walk away from salvation. Maybe there's someone here today. And you don't have a problem with God. You like God. You like church. You don't mind being here. Then why would you walk out the door and not be saved? Why would you walk out the door and not put your faith in Jesus? There may be people here that's already saved, but stuff has come between you and the Lord. And before we get into this deep scripture on joy, I think it's going to be life-changing. I want to remind us that we don't follow God because of what He gives us. We follow God because of who He is. Look back at the last verse and we're done. Psalm chapter 4. Look at verse 3. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is, what's the next word? Godly. Godly for who?
Himself.
Himself. Watch this. God says, I'm watching the choices you make. And when you choose to take a step towards me, when you choose to obey the scripture, when you choose that you want me, and you're not perfect by any means, you've got sins, you've got problems, but you're trying to order your life to be set apart for God. God says, I've got a special pile of people over here. I love everybody. I'm good to everybody. But I've got a special pile of people over here that I interact with differently because they're choosing me. And as soon as you get that in your head, it brings into focus how important the decisions we make. But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. You compare that with 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and other verses. Have a special relationship with God. Stand in awe, verse 4 says, and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Selah is an old word that means think about that. Take a moment and think about it. Then lastly, verse 7, thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time when their corn and their wine increased. Watch this. The psalmist says, God's teaching me the difference between the godly and the ungodly. Joy is a byproduct of following God, because joy is gladness from God. And the joy that God gives me is better than when they have all their money, that's the corn, the harvest, and their wine, that's their pleasure. I have a better time with God, the joy God gives me, than the people in the nightclub did last night. Than the people down at Bobby G's did last night, the bars in town. Than the people who are over on Ocean Road today sitting on their back porch in a $7 million house on a chair that cost as much as my couch. Sitting on a lawn chair that cost as much as my couch. Looking at the ocean with a glass of wine in their hands. And the psalmist says, the gladness God gives me is better than all that. I don't know about you, but I want some joy. How many of you today would say, I want some joy? Maybe you have some, but fill my cup, Lord, and let it overflow. We're going to spend the next several weeks talking about that. Next week, sources of joy. Where do I go to get this joy? I'm going to teach you where the fountains are, where the spouts are. And you can have it if you want it. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, we're grateful for the chance to be here today. We ask that you would give us joy. It's a hallmark of Christianity. It's an absolute truth of Christianity that we can have joy. Not that there's no sadness, not that we won't have mountaintops and valleys, but that there is an undergirding joy of it all. Pray you'd give it to us, we ask, in the precious name of Christ. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here this morning and not sure you're saved, we'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure.